The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You'll be proud of this game, and you can do a great deal for football today. Great deal for all the players and the league and everything else.
Oh, I see him looking. I'm closing.
I was born in it. Molded by it.
Yeah, so they got to wake up with their piss out.
You're talking about Rasul?
Mercedes Lewis here, a.k.a. Big Dog. Big Dog, Big Dog, Big Dog. When you listen to the Poor Man's Packers podcast, go Pack Go.
Good night, man. I'm so excited. Let's roll.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Poor Man's Packers podcast, the World Packers podcast in the state of our minds. I am Spencer, once again joined this week with Andrew. Andrew.
Hello.
And, you know, coming off a pitiful loss on Sunday, the Packers lose 21-23 to the Washington Commanders. One Taylor Heinicke, pretty gross game, a letdown once again in Washington, and, another Sunday letdown for the Green Bay Packers. Andrew, how was your viewing experience on Sunday watching this game?
Yeah, I was at day two of a poker tournament, as opposed to last week, where I did not make it. But I got to see most of the game, unfortunately, because I got knocked out early. Still made a good run at it.
Don't care.
But the casino loved the game. We're in Minnesota, so everyone was cheering, and it was even worse because as a Packer fan, I'm like the one lone wolf who's like hoping and rooting for everything the Packers do and getting the weird looks from everyone. A less than ideal game, of course. I hope no one went to Iowa and took the Packers to win the division after seeing that.
Yeah, we're going to have to fix that with your segment for jinxing the
no
team.
No more Packers talk for sure.
But yeah, that's some of the talking about being at the casino here in Minnesota for the game. I still always think back to 2018 at a Mumford & Sons concert I was at, of course.
Sure.
Once again, white guy, that folk rock, that's my jam.
It's definitely right. I mean, that is the center core of like a white 30-year-old.
And it was like January or December, and the Vikings had just had the Minneapolis Miracle, and I had floor seats, and I was in a sea of all these fucking idiots doing the skull chant, and I'm like, just fucking kill me. Just kill me.
Yeah, no, that sounds awful.
And this week, too, was another... Well, Sunday was bad. It was, a kill me kind of week, I'll say. However, everything's pretty negative right now. I kind of don't hate where the team is at. Obviously, the record, pretty shitty, 3-4, but we are tied with the Rams, the Bucks, and the Niners with three wins right now. So very much alive. And we've talked about it. We talked about it a lot last year where the last 3 years, it's been, one seed or two seed, home field advantage. And we're like, maybe we got to try something else. Like a lot of people said that. And now that we're actually here, people aren't as, it's hard to be excited, especially with how the team's looking. But if nothing else, these seasons are fun to me because they're more interesting. Every week actually matters when come October, the last 3 years, no game until January has really mattered.
Okay, so first off, yes, October last 3 years, we already know we're getting in the playoffs, doesn't matter, sure.
Yep.
I'm 50-50, we're sitting our starters, right?
Sure.
I want a couple things to say. I want to start back at the beginning. Do you think, I know obviously the Packers playing Green Bay, not Madison, or Milwaukee, but if you're at a concert in Madison, do you ever think after a big win, the Foo Fighters are in town and you hear Go Pack Go, you think that happens?
I know similar things have happened. The one thing that pops up for sure is Pearl Jam. Probably back in 2010 or 2011, a lot of Green Bay Packers were at that game, including Matt Flynn.
Okay.
And Matt Flynn wore number 10, and Eddie Vedder, I think they were, Pearl Jam was touring, celebrating some anniversary of their number one album, 10. So he had a Packers 10 jersey
on. Okay, well, that's cool.
I think he liked crowd surf. So similar things do happen in sometimes.
Okay, so our fan base is also, you know, that way at times.
Yes.
Okay, okay. There's one more thing. I don't remember. You know, we'll get back to it if I do.
We'll get into it. I'll finish with this before we get into the rest of the episode. My favorite years being a Packer fan, obviously the Super Bowl year, which we limped in at 10-6. Other than that, I would say 2013, the year when Rodgers broke his collarbone, Cobb got hurt, but every single week mattered. And outside of the Super Bowl run, my favorite moment being a Packer fan was the Cobb touchdown on 4th and 8. And I doubt I'm the only one who thinks this, but everything mattered. Everything was so dramatic. And that was my second favorite season watching the Green Bay Packers. I'm in the minority, but I know I'm not the only one who thinks that.
My favorite is the Rodgers to Rodgers versus Detroit. And that was just because like of watching the game. You know, I loved that individual moment too. I think that game mattered. I think we had to win that game to get into the playoffs, actually.
It was a tough year as well. Yeah, we were kind of skirting.
Oh, I know what I was gonna say. I was gonna say you said, we should try to switch things up as if like our GM and staff has gotten together and said, let's go 3-4 to mix it up and not guarantee a win. You know, let's have to try second half.
We'll see. I mean, maybe, we don't know for sure. Maybe that is what's going on behind closed doors. But yes, like every week on this episode, we will start with our pick six, the six plays that shaped the game. After that, we're actually going to have take news right off the bat, talking about Aaron Rodgers, him on Pat McAfee today, and the bit of a Twitter meltdown that happened. You know, kind of cherry picking some quotes, but for the most part, getting the point across what he was saying. But we'll break down the offense, the defense. We will have, is Kyle an idiot? Some Packers trivia. And then we will preview the Bills game on Sunday night. But first, pick six.
Pick six. Pick six. Pick six.
All right. Pick six for the week, the Lynn Lake pick six. Shout out to them again. The Emotional Vampire. Their Raspberry Sour is the new beer on tap. They're also once again showing the game on Sunday night at Lynn Lake in Uptown Minneapolis. Apparently there's already word that some Bills fans are going to be there. So apparently we got to fill it up with Packer fans. So
yeah. Make sure you can't let them outdo our home turf on the home bar, you know?
So they have that going on. And also on Saturday, you know, Halloween weekend, if you show up wearing a costume, $5 beers. So there you go. Not bad for a brewery.
Especially downtown here. You know, that's great.
Right. Yeah. So moving on to the pick six, the first pick six game. And once again, I'm going to try to streamline these things going forward a little bit more. First big play that shaped the game, the Amari Rodgers muffed punt very early in the game. You know, it was 7-0 at the time. They were already kind of backed up, punting out midfield. Amari Rodgers muffs it. This is his second fumble in 3 weeks. The Commanders recover the ball and score a field goal just 3 plays later. But obviously, knowing how the game ended, if this play didn't happen, the Packers very easily probably would have won. Obviously, you know, I always forget, butterfly effect. The butterfly effect, you know, things would have changed, but either way.
Well, the butterfly effect is huge in any football game. I mean, I think it's the biggest aspect. You said this one play that changed the game.
Yep.
And Amari Rodgers has already been on our shit list, so we're not to talk about him more than we need to, but yeah, he fucking sucks.
Yeah, I feel bad because, you know, they're still humans, they're still premier athletes. Like, these are still top, you know, couple hundred type receivers in the league or in the world pretty much. But my God, he just cannot return punts. We'll talk about him as a receiver later. He looks a little better there. But and even hearing Matt LaFleur on Monday talk about, I won't be surprised if he's back there returning again on Sunday, which is just unbelievable.
I mean, yes, one point you made, you pick 10,000 guys randomly from the world. And Amari Rodgers is one of them. He's the most athletic.
Sure.
No doubt. Yes. But he doesn't deserve to be on the field for the Packers or any NFL team.
He should not be a punt returner in the NFL. We'll see about wide receiver. He's obviously struggled getting on the field anyways with that.
Right.
But yeah, not good. But yes, made the score 7-3. Moving on to the next pick six play. I don't know what the down and distance was, but we know what happened. Heinicke tries to fit a ball to the right, but Devondre Campbell, inside linebacker who has not made a lot of plays this year, picks it off, runs it all the way back for a touchdown, high steps over Heinicke while scoring. Pretty cool, pretty sweet. I was like, here we go. We got a good game going on here. Nope. Obviously, we know how it ended, but that made the score 14-3, and we were riding high. It was like, hey, we got a defense. We got a little bit of an offense here. These first couple drives have been moving the ball, but it all kind of went downhill after that.
So, yeah, exactly. After, like, the first drive of Rodgers to Jones, touchdown, an interception for a touchdown, our defense holding them in the red zone to 3 points, you know, I was like, okay, the Packers are back. Like, we're going to go on to this game. My predictions are going to come true from last week. Mm-hmm. It'll be 35-3 or whatever. You know, yeah. It'll just crush. And the Packers are back in the game. You know, we're a Super Bowl contender again. Everyone can shut up. I was not sweating anymore.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you weren't sweating. But yeah, it good defensive stand, like you were talking about on the previous play, too, with the field goal. But yeah.
So many of them through the game, but we'll probably get there.
Yeah. Once again, if first half defense, pretty good. Second half defense, not so good. But
I mean, even at the very end, they still held them, you know, first down ends the game. They held them to 4 yards. I felt like they were fine.
Yes. No, it's
especially for how much they had to play.
Yes. That's one of the bigger points. Yeah. The third pick six play, moving on. Once again, don't remember the down and distance for this one, but we all know what it was. Heinicke drops back, feels some pressure, throws it out wide, and it's Rashawn Gary, forces a fumble. Rasul Douglas scoops it up off the ground, runs it back for a touchdown, but Laundry on the field, comes back. The refs called Eric Stokes for illegal contact, I believe, even though the running back ran directly into him. Brings back the touchdown, and obviously, you know, would have been a 21-3 game. Not so fast, remained 13-3, and we know how it ended. The refs were pretty suspect all game. I mean, just the challenge that LaFleur had on the fumble, it took legitimately 10 to 15 minutes until they figured that out. I think even all the games at noon on Sunday, the Packers were the last game to finish because of how many flags the refs threw and how long the reviews were that they went over.
I hate blaming the refs more than anything. It just seems like the biggest fan cop-out. But watching a game like this, it's tough not to be like, they were too involved. You know, you never want a ref to have a decision in the game as far as like the outcome. You want equal calls both ways. Like, you don't even want your team. There's been times where, like, as a Packer fan, you're like, ah, God, I wish we didn't get that call towards us. I'd rather win without it.
Yeah.
And this game just didn't feel good to watch from the reverse side either.
It sucks too, because you're watching, and especially when they're inconsistent, like if you're gonna call that flag on Stokes, you could have called a flag on most plays probably, right? But it's just, even one of the last drives we had, the last touchdown drive to Aaron Jones, we had like three different penalties that we got that kept the drive going. And it's just, you don't want to have that added variable. If you could have no penalties in a single game, like, just give me that. Don't slow it down. Don't need this bullshit.
The refs shouldn't be a center of attention or a focal point in the game. You shouldn't be like, oh, and the ref's out again. You know, you shouldn't call their name more than you do some of the players that are your stars.
And we'll see. I think this Sunday too, we have a pretty shitty reffing crew. But moving on, the fourth pick six play, all the way now into the fourth quarter. The score is 14-20. Packers moving the ball finally a little bit again, facing a 4th-and-1. Rodgers drops back, throws out to the left to Romeo Doubs, who drops it, turned the ball over. Packers were out of shotgun. A.J. Dillon standing next to Aaron Rodgers did not run it, which is okay, but should have been a high percentage play. But Romeo Doubs unable to secure the catch, and the Packers turned the ball over on down. So the score remained 14-20.
As a Packer fan here, it's really a bummer that our playmakers need to be these rookies who don't have experience catching these balls. It sucks, because you want someone reliable. You know, obviously I hate to go Devontae. No, we don't need him. You need someone who's responsible and reliable to catch a ball. Someone who's done it for 3 years, 4 years. I mean, who has some kind of chemistry. Robert Tonyan is our most advanced catcher right now on the field with chemistry and play with Aaron. It you know, other than Aaron Jones, obviously, but
yeah, I mean,
it's not what you want.
I guess I don't know about going into Tonyan on 4th-and-1.
I'm not saying go to Tonyan on that play. I'm just saying it sucks that when you need, it sucks that that is our most chemistry player with him. I wish we had someone obviously Cobb not, you know, being hurt, he's probably the guy that takes
Alan
that
Lazard,
reception.
Alan Lazard was, sure. I think he was hurt at that time, though, in the fourth quarter. But, I mean, even Sammy Watkins, being a veteran, is a little bit more reliable than Doubs at this point. But, yeah, we'll see. The thing with him, too, is he's been having these drops, and he, you know, started training camp too. I don't think it's going to be a long term issue. That might be more optimistic than anything at this point. But the thing with him, and we saw with Lazard last week where he made the catch and didn't tuck it, these guys aren't, they're making the catch a good chunk of the time, but it's the defense who's getting the hand on the ball afterwards or knocking their arm, and then they drop it. It's like, I don't know what's going on with Jason Vrabel, the wide receivers coach, but fuck, and I don't know shit. But just tuck these balls when you catch it. You watch next game when you're watching slow-mo, watch to see how many of our receivers tuck the ball right after they make the catch, because it's few and far between for the most part.
Well, and I'm not down on Dubs at all. I'm not like anti him or anything. I'm just bummed, like I said, that our core is so inexperienced and we don't have people to go to.
Yeah, and even like, you know, Christian Watson, who's one of the other ones, and he hasn't been able to stay healthy. Moving on to the next pick six play, the very next drive. Packers obviously needing some type of stop. Facing a 3rd and 8, the Packers rush 5. Devondre Campbell drops back in his zone and passes off Samuel to absolutely no one who's wide open. Heinicke hits him, keeps running forward, gets some yards after the catch, and as he's going out of bounds, Eric Stokes gives him an extra little shove for 15 more yards. Just, this was like, okay, we really are imploding at this point. They did hold up and force them to kick a field goal, making it 14-23. But yeah, not ideal.
Well, why not just, you know, make sure they really get into field goal range there, mm-hmm. you know, secure that.
Yeah. No, not so much. But moving on, the final pick six play, you know, this is after the Aaron Rodgers to Aaron Jones touchdown. So the score is now, you know, 21-23. But with just over 2 minutes left, 3rd and 9, Packers rush 4. This is when the Commanders are driving. They do get a little bit of pressure with just rushing the 4 guys. They had Campbell spying there. Kenny hits Heinicke as he's getting the ball off, floats it up, looked like an absolute duck, shitty ball, but just on the sideline, Terry McLaurin makes the catch right in front of Jair Alexander. Obviously, they pick up the first down, and a couple plays later, they're, you know, forced to punt, but ate up more than enough time to force desperation for the final series for the Packers.
And I really did think that was the nail in the coffin. I didn't think we were going to be able to stop them again. I mean, we did, and we had that little glimmer of hope. Mm-hmm. But at that point, I was like, okay, the game's kind of over, you know?
Yeah, pretty much. It was that, and that's like the closest we've had on schoolyard bullshit. First, the Sammy Watkins catch was like, holy shit, okay, we've got a chance here. And then right after that, I was like, there was so many like instances when Dubs got the ball and started breaking, I was like, shit, we might have a chance here. And though it pissed me off at the very end, obviously Rodgers threw it forward on his lateral.
Right.
But the flag that they threw was unnecessary roughness on Josh Nyman. You watch the replay, he didn't do jack shit. He like blocked a guy. So even if we scored and even if Rodgers didn't throw it forward, it would have came back again for a bullshit penalty that the refs threw.
So I guess I kind of wanted just to say, like, I always used to think, oh, shitty teams do that, like that pass play, right? And I'm always like, oh, we have Aaron Rodgers, we're just going to shoot a Hail Mary. And if anywhere 60 yards are in, like, we have Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess this is the first time in my memory where we've been down and we have like a big play to make and we've done some schoolyard bullshit backwards laterals where we haven't just counted on like, okay, let's lob it up because we know the guy's got the arm. We know we got the receivers that we can trust. One of them might, you know, even only a 20%.
Yeah.
But like that fucking backwards lateral shit never works. Never works, right?
Right?
Never. But the Hail Marys, we've seen those work. Like not often, but there's at least a chance that you catch one.
Rodgers is like the best Hail Mary thrower.
Right. Or you get a penalty somewhere and you get the pass interference downfield and then you get another chance at it. So I guess like, why didn't we do what we always do and try that instead of this like backwards lateral shit?
Well,
why aren't we have the highest, second highest paid, whatever quarterback. Fucking, what are we doing?
It's probably because of his thumb. His thumb was limiting him a bit. And especially even with the receivers that they had out there.
Okay.
It almost works. So I don't, either way. I mean,
no, I know. I'm just saying.
Complaining about a desperation
play. For the last
play.
10 years. I know, but desperation plays.
Yeah.
For the past 10 years, this is the first time we've ran that kind of desperation play.
Well, that's not recall. Earlier okay. this year, too, we had a schoolyard bullshit
we did.
At the end of the game. Okay. I don't remember what game that was, but Yeah, shit. It might have even been against the Vikings. I'm not sure.
I'm just used to seeing the magic, yes, you know, and right. I want more magic.
Yes. We're all looking for the magic. Yes. But moving on, we're actually going to throw it in right here. We'll talk about the offense, but to get it started, take news.
Football time. Take news.
All right, take news for the week. Starting things off, Aaron Rodgers obviously made his weekly appearance on the Pat McAfee show today, and I don't think it was as bad as last year when he set Twitter aflame with his when he tested positive for COVID and then coming on. But this is definitely second place. When asked about, well, we'll just get into it here. We'll talk. Matt Schneidman tweeted about it, which caused a bit of a stir. But here is Aaron Rodgers talking about, you know, the problems with the offense specifically in this game.
How close are you? We hear people talk about like different players about their team. Oh, we're really close, even though they may be losing some games. Okay, we're close. We're almost there. We just got to figure it out. Do you feel like you guys are close and it's just one player here or there?
It's definitely not just one play here or there. Like I said, it's, you know, 20% of the time. If we have 50 plays and we have 10 mental misassignments or mental errors, that's 20% of the time. So that's way too high. You know, in the past, we're looking more like at, you know, less than 10%. So it gives us, you know, a really good chance to be successful. 20%, that's too high. That's one play a series where you're really making it tough on yourself. So we got to fix that. And whatever that is, I think, you know, guys who are making too many mistakes shouldn't be playing. You know, we got to start cutting some reps. And maybe guys who aren't playing, give them a chance. So we're going to see. We made some changes, you know, last week. We moved Yash over to right tackle. We moved John to right guard. Elton to left guard. So, you know, we're doing some things.
So, after the game, especially on Twitter, and I'm sure there's a lot of other fans out there very upset with Aaron Rodgers. Terrible game, you know, wasn't very good. A lot of, and I agree for the most part, a lot of inaccurate balls. A lot of them that were caught, and even some of the drops could have been in better spots. We were used to seeing Rodgers hitting guys in stride or these swing passes out of the backfield, a little bit more accuracy. We haven't seen that as much this year. However, and this usually has been the case this year, Rodgers doesn't play like Aaron Rodgers, but he's not playing nearly as bad as we think he is. We get to the end of the game, it's like, fuck, the offense only put up 14 points. What the hell happened? And Rodgers kind of goes over that here. Now he's talking about maybe, you know, taking reps away from guys who aren't performing well or making these mental mistakes. Once again, everyone's like, ah, Aaron Rodgers, he's the biggest problem. We should have traded him. We should trade him now. Like, these are what actual fans are saying.
Everyone's saying that.
A lot of people are saying
that. That's Reddit, 100%.
So I went through, and when I rewatched the game, I wrote down what happened on all these drives. So these are excluding the end of the half drive where there's like less than a minute left and you're on the one, and the end of the game bullshit drive. Sure. These are all the drives. Drive number one. Drop on third down, Alan Lazard, punt. Drive number two, no drops, no penalties, touchdown. This was the only drive all day where there wasn't a drop and there wasn't a hold. Third drive, holding penalty, first and 20. Next play, Dubs drops a screen. They eventually punt. Fourth drive, first down, Aaron Jones. It's when he reverses the field.
Oh, yep.
Loses 6 yards. So now you're at second and 16. They aren't able. That's followed up by a hold to make it second and 25. And then on second down, Tunyon drops it. They're not able to convert on third and 25. Fifth drive, holding penalty on first down, first and 20. Then on third down, Romeo Dubs drop. Ball could have been a little bit higher, a little bit better from Rodgers, but hit his hands. Drop is a drop. Rodgers could have been better. Dubs could have been better. Still a holding penalty. Sixth drive. Drop from Romeo Dubs on third and two. Tough ball. Could have caught it. This was the fingertip ball, but another drop ball.
Your receiver in the NFL should catch that ball.
Yep. Seventh drive. Illegal formation on first down. Doesn't matter. Aaron Jones eventually picks it up. But this was the drive where Romeo Dubs drops the ball on fourth down. Eighth drive. T- touchdown drive. Amari had a drop deep, but sure. This is also a drive that that was helped very much by the refs calling three different penalties to give the Packers first downs. And those are all the drives in the game.
Right.
So legitimately, and it's stupid shit, but we've said it before, make the plays that are there. And Rodgers talked about a little bit last week with this whole what's the simplification thing. If we can just run some basic ass offense, catch the ball, and don't get stupid penalties. I mean,
what you're trying to say is first and 10 is a lot easier to convert than second and 16.
Yeah, they're stubbing themselves on the foot, and Rodgers can make the plays that are there, but he can't always be magical. Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he's 38 years old. He's going to be 39 in a couple weeks here. He should absolutely be playing better. But if you are just so butthurt about Rodgers' play this year, there are so many problems. He's one of the problems, but he isn't the sole problem on this offense.
I actually agree with what Rodgers is saying, and I've said this before. I think I said it last week, or maybe I was just bullshitting over the weekend, but our offense, besides Rodgers, is not set up for Rodgers, meaning if he can throw a magical ball, you still need someone to catch it, and a magical catch. So what is our offense is set up for is, you know, we have the running backs and tight ends, quick passes that any quarterback for the most part could complete. So quick little slants or quick little chucks that Rodgers can do all day, but so can 90% of NFL quarterbacks. So we have a guy who can put it, you know, right in between two cornerbacks and right in stride, but our receivers aren't getting there and aren't able to put their fingers within that 2-inch zone as well. So when you have a Devontae, it's magic, right? You can do it all fucking day, 10 receptions. But there's no point now because we have fucking Dubs as our number one, or, you know, two, and Lazard. It's what is it?
I know what you're saying, and that is kind of what they tried to run on Sunday. That was the most dink and dunk
right. And game plan. Yeah, absolutely. But it's the mistakes then. So then they say we simplified it to not do crazy stuff, but now stop getting holding calls and stop fucking up.
Right. Well, like Rodgers said in the clip too, it's the players who need to perform. But yeah, that's what we have for take news. It's just, I understand being upset with Rodgers, but you gotta watch the game or actually see he could be playing better, but there's a lot of issues going on in this offense. But yeah, sticking with Rodgers, once again, his stats for the game, 23 for 35, 194 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks, no sacks. Once again, didn't play great, but he could have been a lot worse. And once again, back-to-back weeks. Last week, it was the Lazard play down the sideline, and this one, that touchdown to Aaron Jones, just beautiful.
It's nice to see no sacks.
Yeah. Finally, it was that quick game stuff that they were doing, and it helped up. It helped him out. It kept him upright. I feel like he still felt some phantom pressure at times, sure. But overall, can't complain too much there. Moving on to running back, Aaron Jones, you know, he is the best player on the offense. He's the best running back in Packers history. However, he just had 8 carries, 23 yards, a 2.9 average. He did, however, have 9 receptions for 53 yards and the 2 touchdowns.
I was going to say, just like you said, yeah, they didn't hand him the ball off, but they got him just as much touches as you would hope for it by combination there. And those keep a lot of those plays open to, you know, if you see a big receiver out open. So
yep, and
I love that.
And that's what LaFleur said on Monday too, is they technically counted 2 or 3 of those receptions he had as runs.
Right.
And I'll say this too. So I've talked shit a ton about running it out of shotgun this year right now. And LaFleur did say this yesterday that they have been a little limited on offense because of that thumb. Rodgers doesn't want to take the snaps under center because of, you know, the pain he's feeling from that thumb. So that's why they've pulled back on that. Obviously, that's just an excuse for the last 2 weeks. But either way, anyways, getting back to the shotgun run, Aaron Jones, and we saw it in this game, the most successful play that we had on Sunday were those quick pitches to the outside. And if you're going to run out of shotgun, this is the way to do it. I've been saying it all year, you know, especially with AJ Dillon, you line up, he's set up right next to him, get the snap. And then you've got to move. AJ Dillon has to move laterally. He has to get the snap, and then he's got to redirect and run forward. On these quick pitches, Rodgers gets the snap, and he just fucking chucks it immediately to Aaron Jones, who's already quick. And I mean, the time from snap to, you know, running to the line of scrimmage has to be cut in half when we're running these plays. And we saw, I don't think a single one of those run plays went for less than 5 yards on Sunday.
I mean, they're explosive. Yeah. He's explosive. That's what's fun to watch.
And once again, it's when we're always in these, especially on Sunday, these bad down and distances, Aaron Jones just makes up yards that shouldn't be there. Moving on to A.J. Dillon, like I talked about, not a very good game. Only 4 carries. He's getting involved less and less every week. For instance, Aaron Jones, he was part of 40% of the plays on Sunday. A.J. Dillon, like I said, just 4 carries and no receptions. So we'll see what happens with him, but obviously his snaps are taking a bit of a dive right now. Moving on to wide receiver, Alan Lazard, leading receiver on the day, 6 receptions, 55 yards. Biggest thing with him, though, was getting hurt. He was seen on Monday wearing a sling. So we'll see what happens there. He's hurt. Randall Cobb is hurt. Christian Watson might be practicing this week. We'll see. Sammy Watkins just got back, but his hammy's still a little tough. So we'll see. I wouldn't be shocked if Lazard does play on Sunday, because it doesn't look like it's a broken collarbone or something or a break like that. So we'll see. If it was something long term, I feel like we would have heard about it by now. But this does bring up the question, Andrew. Do the Green Bay Packers, you know, we're a week away now from the trade deadline, do they need to make a move and trade for a wide receiver?
I was going to hope you would ask, and I was going to ask if you didn't. Of course. I mean, look at our wide receiver roster right now. Is that a roster that you or anyone without laughing could say, oh, they're going to make a deep run in the playoffs?
I don't think they are that bad. It's once again, those things of doing the right thing and making the catch that's there. So let me start saying this. I think we should trade for a wide receiver. Reason being, I don't really care for the on-field production, but trading for a wide receiver, if nothing else, it sends a message to the team that, one, you're trying, and two, hey, we got to buck up and be a little bit better. It sends that type of message. This past year, I don't follow the Brewers that much anymore, but they traded away right before the trade deadline their relief pitcher, Hader. Wasn't having a good year, but he was a pretty great pitcher. Ended up turning it around, was pretty solid for the Padres, who they traded him to. However, more than anything, that locker room, the clubhouse for the Brewers, were broken after that, because it looked like, you know, I mean, they were selling, but it was like there wasn't a belief in the team, and the Brewers' season shit the bed, went downhill after that. Now, I'm not saying selling here. Some people are saying the Packers should be sellers, which I think is ridiculous. But either way, doing that type of move, it's like, hey, I know we've got a losing record right now, but we can still turn this shit around.
We believe in this team. We believe in our offense and our defense, and here's one piece that you guys might help. So you got Aaron Rodgers for 2 more years, or this year and 2 more years, right? Your goal with that...
Contractually, he could retire. I think he'll play 1 more year, depending on how this
season goes. Your goal with that is to obviously win a Super Bowl.
Yes.
Right? That's why you signed him for 3 more years, or 3 more years, whatever.
This is a fact.
You have to give him an opportunity, and to do that, yes, you need to trade for a fucking receiver.
Yeah,
who is it?
I think so.
Who do you want? I see a lot of CeeDee Lamb out there. Is that not what I see?
I haven't heard that once.
Really?
Lamb?
I see that all over.
He is an elite player. There's no way.
I
think you're thinking Chase Claypool.
I might be, but I thought it was Lamb.
There's 0% chance that the Cowboys would trade him. He's very late. Yeah, I don't know if it would be Claypool. I don't love Claypool. I don't think he's a great locker room guy, but I would take any type of talent right now. There's Judy for the Broncos. There's Hamler for the Broncos. I really don't give a shit. Just give us someone. But once again, like you're saying, and like I've said, it's these little things that matter. It's very tough, unless you're getting a good veteran wideout, to just sign with the team and then be a part of this offense and not fuck up. So we'll see what happens. A lot of injuries. Hopefully Christian Watson can practice this week. But yeah, maybe we'll even have news while we're recording that we made a trade.
God, wouldn't that be nice?
I highly doubt that.
When is the actual deadline? End of Sunday or something?
I believe it's next Tuesday or Wednesday.
So after this week, we could still add someone else in.
Correct. I'm not sure. We might record after the deadline. I don't remember.
Sure.
But moving on, we talked about him a little bit. Romeo Dubs, he had 4 targets, 3 or 4 drops, whichever way you want to look at it. You know, there was another thing too, where that bad ball that Rodgers threw, that deep one to Romeo in the first half, I believe. That's another thing. When Rodgers is saying that we need to take reps from guys, he might be talking about the offensive line, might be talking about Josh Nyman, because he had a couple holding penalties. But I really think he's talking about Romeo Dubs. Unfortunately, these drops and the missed assignments, like I was saying, the that mistimed deep bomb to Dubs. It looks like Dubs kept running the route that the play was, but when the play breaks down like it did, you're just supposed to run a go. That's what Rodgers threw. So I think it's kind of that mental mistake type deal that Rodgers talked about on McAfee as well.
Huge misses that affect the game.
Absolutely. Moving on to Sammy Watkins, finished with the 2 receptions, 36 yards. Nice to see him back out there. I couldn't believe that that play was complete, that last completion that we had, but he's looking, the story with his hammy is very strange as well. When he talked to the media last week, it was something that he, in that last game that he played in against the Bears, I believe, he said he was running at 80% because his hammy didn't feel very good. Then that next week of practice, he was running at like 70% the whole practice. And then the very last play, he gave it his all. And that's when he heard a pop. And he was obviously out for those 4 weeks. But even watching him on Sunday, he's just lumbering around at times. Right. So we'll have to see. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, if I'm a betting man, I would say Sammy Watkins is probably going to miss another game this year. I feel like that's a pretty easy bet.
I mean, has Sammy Watkins ever gone a full season with...
Maybe like his rookie year, very early on, like he had a couple healthy seasons. But yeah, that's about it. Moving on, Amari Rodgers. We'll talk about him, obviously, with the special teams again, too. Maybe we don't have to talk about him more, right? But he didn't look terrible at wideout. He had the one nice catch right at the line of scrimmage, ran up and picked up the first down and got close to it. He had the deep bomb drop. God, fucking Ryan Wood. Ryan Wood said that's a catch he has to make. I think it's kind of iffy. He is a shorter receiver. It did hit his hands, but he was diving forward, could have made the play. You liked for Amari how much it's been down for him his whole career. That play would have been maybe he can play with Lazard.
A huge turning point for him.
Yes, and with Lazard and Cobb being hurt, I very curious to see what we see from Amari Rodgers on Sunday.
It would really put the fans back on his side if he could have saved that ball.
We'll see. Though, honestly, it's both Rodgers are getting all the shit on social media right now. And then Sammy Touré, the 7th-round draft pick from Nebraska, had his first career reception. We'll probably see a little bit
he
more
just got
him.
Brought up from the practice squad, right?
Is that who it was? Okay. No, he's been on the 53 all year, but this was the first time he actually suited up and played.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Moving on to tight end, not too much to talk about. Robert Tonyan, the 3 receptions, 32 yards. DeGuara, we still keep waiting to see more from him. I'm fine with seeing less of Tyler Davis, but DeGuara, I don't know. He's pretty good on these blocking plays as well. I feel like the more we see the big boys like Big Dog and DeGuara, it means we're running more, we're doing more play action, more stuff close to the line. We're probably going to see more of them too, depending on what happens with the offensive line here going back and forth. But that's about it for tight ends. Speaking of the offensive line, late news during the weekend. Obviously, David Bakhtiari popped up on the injury report being questionable on Saturday. Pretty bad juju there. And of course, he did not play on Sunday. There was a lot of talk going into the game that there would be a reshuffling. And that is what happened, but there had to be reshuffling on top of the reshuffling. Obviously, going from left to right, the starting line on Sunday was Zach Tom at left tackle, Elton Jenkins, who got flipped to the left side, which is probably his best position, playing left guard. Josh Myers stayed at center. John Runyon moved over to right guard. And Yosh Nyman, who's only played left tackle in his career in the NFL, played right tackle. So we had three guys in this game who played... They might have had one or two snaps in the past, but they started at positions, three guys that have never played that position in the NFL.
Wild.
And they, you know, pretty good. No sacks allowed. Couple pressures. I do my conspiracy brain wonder if David Bakhtiari was never going to play in this game, whether he told the team. I mean, that's probably a little too dramatic.
Why would you say that?
Because FedEx Field is the... We talk shit about Soldier Field.
Oh, right. This is the second worst. Yeah.
Yeah. FedEx Field is worse than Soldier Field. Soldier Field is bad, but it's like comically bad for how they literally keep the grass long and stuff.
Well, at least it's a real field, right? Like it's actual grass.
Yeah. And I guess I'm not quite sure what the Commanders have, but
it's turf over like cement.
Yeah.
Like it is like no padding. I was actually going to ask you about that last week going into this and I forgot.
I think I brought it up.
You might have. But it's like turf over concrete or something like that. And it's, you did bring it up because you used to watch it for injuries. Yes.
Yeah. It's terrible because it obviously kind of ended RG3's career as well. And there's always been trouble in Washington. So I wonder how much of that played into it. But yeah, nice to see this. There was the big quote after the game where Zach Tom said that, when he went to bed on Saturday, he didn't know if he was playing. He didn't think he was playing. Woke up Sunday and he said it wasn't surprising just because of the way David Bakhtiari looks when he practices. So not good vibes on the offensive line. Still better vibes, I guess, but we'll see. And I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be surprised if David Bakhtiari plays on Sunday and plays every single snap because he rested up, and we'll see if my conspiracy theory was right.
I was just going to ask you if you think that was going to happen. Now, is it the same injury as before? He just wasn't 100% on it?
It's still his knee. Yeah, it fluctuates. It fills up with fluid. He feels soreness. It's not good.
Sure. But, and he doesn't want to re-injure it, obviously. It's his body and his career.
Yeah, and everyone
has a body.
If you don't take care of your body, where are you going
to
live?
Well, yeah, you have to live inside of your body.
Exactly. So. But yeah, Zach Tom, the rookie, playing left tackle finally. I still probably would have kept him at right tackle and keep Yash on the left side, but who really gives a shit? I'm just glad Newman was benched. And Tom, you watch him play. He really quick feet. He's very athletic. He gets in front of the guys. I hate seeing number 50 on the offensive line. It's just a disgusting number. But man, he gets pushed around. He gets in the way of guys. But much like David Bakhtiari, his rookie year, or Jason Spriggs back in the day, Tom has got to put on weight if he's going to be a competent NFL sure. tackle. But either way, he's a competent NFL lineman, which Royce Newman is not.
And we'll take it.
Yep. And with that, we will take a quick commercial break.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And we are back with the defense. Defense, not too bad. They let up 23 points. They also scored 7 points. But second week in a row, and we kind of mentioned it early on, even after the Amari Rodgers muff, they held him to a field goal. But once again, second week in a row where the team had solid red zone defense. Washington had a first and goal from the 5 and a first and goal from the 7 with 8 minutes left. And both of those ended in field goals, which is, you know, the typical bend, don't break. Nice to see, well, kind of nice to see, Barry let Jair shadow Terry in the game. A lot of people, I saw Aaron Nagler from Cheesehead TV say that Jair didn't play a bad game, but in my eyes, I mean, I guess I could have talked about them. Well, we'll get right into it. Secondary, Jair Alexander shadowed Terry in the game. He did allow the touchdown. It was a very impressive throw and catch. He did allow on the final drive of the game, there was a third down. Jair was covering Terry and he slipped. Terry made the catch, picked up the first down, and then the final play, the last pick six play that we had, that third and eight, that little kind of prayer thrown to the sideline. Jair was in coverage, did allow it. I mean, he was sticky all day. He's fucking smacking the running backs. He's always very physical. He's an excellent player. But man, for the shutdown corner being the highest paid corner in the league, he makes one of those plays, and once again, we could have won the game.
Whole game changes there, yeah. I mean, as a whole, I know we're going to break down the defense individually. I am happy with how the defense did.
Yes, it's so damn tough, and we'll stick with it here too. They had 4 or 5 balls just in the first half, I think, that could have gotten picked off. Rasul Douglas had like 2 in his mitts. Jair had a close one too. I forgot who else, but so many close plays. And Jerry Gray, the secondary coach, he said it earlier this year that he thinks picks come in bunches. I think he said that week 1 or week 2, but man, it's just, the juju and the luck is so bad with this team right now where we just can't make, even on defense, the plays that are there. Now, obviously, these guys are defensive backs and they can't catch as well, but fuck. Just one of those would have, once again, just switched the game all around.
But, I mean, I know, obviously, you know, Taylor Heineke's nothing to write home about, but holding them to 20 for 33 is good as a whole, I think, right? Any quarterback, I mean, that's a pretty good stat to hold the defense, especially with how many opportunities they had.
Yeah, you know? But I mean, he's still a backup quarterback.
Right.
You weren't expecting that much from him, but yes, I mean, I don't know. You expect with this type of performance to be enough for the offensive, you know,
sure,
win the
sure.
game for you. Eric Stokes, you know, I've kind of vouched for him this year, but he's officially having a sophomore slump. He had the penalty for the 15 yards, the unnecessary bullshit that he did. And he also got lost in coverage in times. Very often, it seems like Stokes and Savage are passing off guys in zones to nobody. Adrian Amos, once again, great touchdown-saving tackle, Gibson, early in the first half, I believe. Shoestring tackle, he doesn't make that play. Gibson, for sure, scores a touchdown. It makes me think again, and I think I said it last year, too. I'm not a believer in Darnell Savage. He makes a lot of mistakes, and I wish we did not pick up the fifth-year option. It was also strange that we gave Adrian Amos void years on his contract this offseason instead of just giving him an extension. So this is probably his last year with the team, and if it were up to me, I would have kept the old Wiley veteran instead of the young Darnell Savage, but that is just me. Moving on to inside linebacker, Devondre Campbell and Walker once again had flashes, but haven't played very well together. They're, especially in pass coverages, like they cannot pass off guys. There was a third down play where Terry just ran past each of them. Neither seemed to pick him up, picked up the first down. And Walker, he's bounced back a bit in the run game. He had 6 run stops, which is a good bounce back from him. He's a little bit better at finding these zones, these lanes in the run game on the line. But man, again, it's sometimes in coverage, he looks lost. Nice to see us blitzing him a little bit more, though. Moving on to outside linebacker, Rashawn Gary, really bad at setting the edge. I mean, he's the best defensive player on this team probably right now, but my God, in the run game, he's terrible. We haven't had PFF games much lately, but Pro Football Focus gave him a 90 when it came as an edge rusher pass rushing and a 50 as a run defender. There was one drive where it seemed like they just ran to the right side towards him, and they would pick up 10 yards at least.
The discrepancy in that is crazy.
Yeah, and it's tough because, we'll get to it right now. JJ Anagbare, he's going to be a great player, the rookie fifth-round pick. He had a sack in this game. He had a nice pressure in this game that was almost a strip sack. But he's someone who struggles setting the edge too, and it's like, man, I understand getting aggressive because that's what we want from this defense, but at the same time, the run D is a little bit more important than making these sacks at this point. So,
how many sacks do we have as a defense?
The Green Bay Packers have 15 sacks on the season, which ties them for 16th in the NFL. So they're right in the middle currently. So
that's nothing to complain about, I guess.
Yeah, could be a little bit better. I mean, we do get a lot of pressures, and you know, the coaching staff says this, and I agree that pressures are more important than sacks as long as you're affecting the play. You know, it means you're more consistently. Sometimes sacks can be a little bit more lucky. But yes, Preston Smith, he's had a very solid season as well. He seems to be bucking the trend of playing well every other year. If there is an edge player on this team who does set the edge, it's him. And it was nice to see him playing this game, play halfway decent as well. His former team, he was a second round pick from Washington. And the only game he's missed in his NFL career was last year when he got injured before they played the Washington football team.
Oh, that's funny. So,
yeah, he was finally able to play them. But yeah, either way, I'm going to say it again. JJ Anagbare, I think he's going to be a stud. I think he's probably playing well enough that we'll keep Preston next year, but we'll probably cut him after that because that contract is pretty expensive. Moving on to the defensive line. Kenny Clark is, once again, the only guy to talk about. He had 5 pressures. The only other lineman with a pressure was Jerron Reed with 2. Not good, and I don't know, the running game, still not great, but they still gave up 4.4 yards a carry. I believe Gibson was averaging over 5 yards a carry. Not very good, but overall, the defense, pretty solid. If I had to choose to get that performance again or a new one, I would take that performance again personally.
Yeah, sure.
Cool. Thank you for agreeing with me. And moving on to special teams, Pat O'Donnell is a great punter right in the middle of the league as far as net average goes. But Amari Rodgers, we just, once again, it's 2 fumbles in 3 weeks. I still think he literally cost us a game. I feel bad, but I'm going to be very, very mad when he's probably out there returning punts on Sunday. Rich Bisaccia last week said, what are we going to do, shit can the guy? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, we should probably shit can him off special teams at least.
I mean, what's the advantage of keeping him to keep making mistakes? How many opportunities do you give a guy when it matters?
I don't know, but we don't want to hurt his feelings. So that's what fucking pissed me off so much, too. It really seems like with Royce Newman and with Amari Rodgers, it's like we don't want to make these changes because we're going to screw up their mojo, their fragile mental state, which...
But that's not what this league is about, obviously. I mean, we know that, of course. Anyone watching knows who fucking cares?
Yeah, and I feel bad, but once again,
it's a business.
We took Royce Newman off the field, and we gave up zero sacks in this game. Obviously, we had to change the game plan a little bit too, but just fucking
come on,
unbelievable. But with that, Andrew, is Kyle an idiot?
Love it.
I'm not an idiot.
Okay, you sure?
Yes.
All right, is Kyle an idiot for the week? Andrew, we don't have to talk about the record.
Let's just move on.
We don't need to anymore. You have like three or four right on the year.
For a mutual record with the Green Bay Packers. So
yeah, well, you were 0-3 last week, so hopefully you can do better than that. All right, Packers trivia. Andrew, your first question, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Your favorite ones. Andrew, which one of these names is one of a former Packer? Craig Lumpkin? Greg Turkington, Mark Krungbin.
God, all those names are so gross. They're all so disgusting.
I found the one that's the player, and then I found a second one that was equally disgusting and rolled with it.
I need to hear B again, please, because that's the one so far.
Greg Turkington.
Yeah, I'm going B, Greg Turkington.
All right. Andrew, I'll start by saying C. Mark Krungbin, that isn't a real person, but Krungbin is a band that I like.
Cool. Okay.
B, Greg Turkington. He is an actor. He is on with Tim Heidecker, his, movies, cinema. God damn. Something cinema.
I didn't know there were many NFL players that also acted.
Yeah. Nope. Sorry. The actual former Packer is Craig Lumpkin. I think he stuck on the 53 at one point, but he played with us in a preseason one year, and I still remember my dad saying, oh, there goes Lumpy. He really liked Craig Lumpkin.
Okay,
but
that's fair.
Moving on, 0-1. Andrew, your second question. Who has the least amount of receiving yards between Randall Cobb, Alan Lazard, and Romeo Doubs this year?
This year. Mm-hmm. Okay, I was like, you could give me a really easy one if you wanted to there. Alan Lazard.
It is Romeo Doubs.
Okay.
Alan Lazard is the leading receiver. Randall Cobb is after him. But yeah, especially after last week when
Zero. I know Doubs had zero last week, and I thought that's maybe why it was like a trick, but you were just throwing me a softball. Nope. So I went the other way. I was like, oh, well, it can't be Lazard. Yes. You know, so I was like, it must be Lazard.
Snip, snap, snip. I wouldn't be surprised if Doubs has like the first most targets on the team probably the second most.
Because even this week he had, what, four? With no catches?
Yeah, not so good.
Okay.
So, 0-2, hey, and I think you're going to...
One more.
Well, you got a chance here. Let's see.
Good, good, good.
All right, Andrew, we are playing the Buffalo Bills this week.
We are.
The last time the Packers played in Buffalo was 2014. Who on the Green Bay Packers had a terrible drop that would have been a 95-yard touchdown in this game?
Okay. Did he also... Is it the same person who also... fumbled in our own end zone to cost us a game when he should have just taken a knee? No, he didn't fumble. He tried to run it out, and he either fumbled or got sacked on like the 2-yard line, and like he just should have taken a knee, and it cost us the entire fucking game. And then we traded him like 2 weeks later. He was a wide receiver who we traded, and I want to say his name starts with a T. I don't know.
Are
but
you thinking of Ty Montgomery?
I am. Is it him?
It is not.
Okay. That was my guess.
It was Jordy Nelson. No, the Ty Montgomery kick return, that was 2018. Okay. And yes, he was literally traded that week. He was kind of a weirdo in the locker room after too, not answering questions. And he felt like his team kind of abandoned him after he did that, even though he elected to run out of the end zone instead of giving Aaron Rodgers a chance with like under a minute left to win the game.
The whole thing. I remember just like being so mad.
Yeah. And that Jordy Nelson play too. That one, Packers would have won that game. They ended up losing, I believe, but that would have been the longest touchdown pass in Rodgers' career. And it just went right off his mitts. So yeah, very good, Andrew. 0-3. Once again, you are
shocking. Shocking. So
I don't
shocking.
Remember the last time you got a question right.
You know, I think it's the new office mojo just bad in here. We got to go back down to the basement. I had a couple right down there at least. Let me pull up my question here for you.
Yes, my stump spenny.
God. And now that I'm reading this again, like I just hope that I recorded it right and read it all correctly.
Oh, God.
All right. Which Packer has the most single game touchdowns and how many? Bonus points if you know when that record was.
What do you mean by touch? Are you saying scoring touchdowns or throwing touchdowns?
Scoring touchdowns, excuse me.
God, I don't know. That's a good question. I wouldn't be shocked if it was Aaron Jones, but it's probably not him. God.
To be fair, I've never heard of this player myself.
Okay, good. So it's early on. I'm going to guess Don Hutson then.
It is not. This is my first stump Spenny, I believe.
No, I think you had me on another. I don't remember.
Okay.
Either way.
Either who. Paul Hornung.
Oh my God. Paul Horning.
Paul Horning. I don't know. It's spelled Hornung.
I'm telling you, so, it's Paul Horning.
Paul Horning, he had 5 touchdowns against Baltimore Colts back in December of 1965.
I like the way you read because it's like you're learning how
to read. I am. Yeah, well, I wrote this down way earlier.
Yeah.
So actually, my fiance wrote it down for me and sent it to me because I asked her for help with some of these questions, you know?
Yeah, no, Paul Horning was... great player, drafted out of Notre Dame, the Golden Boy. He died 2 years ago, I believe.
Oh.
And here's a fun fact for you. He is the only player. He wore number 5, was a running back. His number isn't retired, but they do not give that number out. It's very...
How interesting.
Yeah, they've been doing it forever, and now he's dead, so it's like, well...
There's no point in giving him the retiring.
Right, maybe you could, but yeah, it's a strange situation. Sometimes in training camps, they'll give someone number 5, but sure, it's never...
No one's taking it into the roster. Okay, cool. Huh.
So, yeah, that was good. That was very actually cool. A pretty... You know, I would say it was a good Stump Spenny question, but the fact you didn't know how to pronounce Paul Horning...
Yeah, well... Then blame me, but give the credit to the finder of the question. Sure. So there we go. I love that.
All right. And now moving on to the preview of the
I've actually Bills been game. So like bummed out about the game that I haven't even looked at like the I'm saying like the odds, you know what I mean? Like I'm not like bummed about the game, so I'm just saying usually I'm pumped to look at like the next week's over under, all that kind of stuff. So I'm gonna pull it up as we speak here because I just
no, I got it all for us. But okay, yes, cool. We are playing the Buffalo Bills on Sunday Night Football, a 7:20 kickoff. Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth, the announcing duo, which I think Sunday Night Football is still probably my favorite coverage. Aikman and Buck are probably my two favorite announcers, mostly because Buck is so good, but we'll continue anyways. The Packers are getting 10.5 points. This is the first time, I believe, in Aaron Rodgers' career that he is a double-digit underdog. The over-under in this game is 47.5 points. The Buffalo Bills, if you've been living under a rock, are a very good football team. They are 5-1. The only loss was to Miami, but the Bills are also coming off a bye week and currently have a 3-game winning streak. And also, once again,
game in St. Louis? Sorry, I know you said I was thinking about the over under.
No, this game is in Buffalo. Not
sorry,
St.
sorry,
Louis.
Sorry. Yeah, fuck. So we have everything going against us.
Well, let's see. Let's look at these quick stats here before we dive into the actual players. On offense, the Buffalo Bills are number 1 in yards per game, number 2 in points per game, and they are the best third down offense in the league. But let's move on. Let's see how the defense is. The defense, number 1 in points per game, number 1 in yards per game, 2nd in creating turnovers, and 4th in sacks per play. This is a very good football team. A little reminiscent of the 1996 Green Bay Packers, who were the number 1 scoring offense and defense. They went on to win the Super Bowl. But yes, very, very good. The only weakness, just looking at the stats that I found, was that the offense does turn the ball over quite a bit. It's like 1.7 turnovers per game. They're 25th in the league in turnovers. So
who beat them?
Miami. I just said Miami.
Oh, yeah. Fuck.
Yeah.
How did Miami beat them?
They were in Miami.
Oh, they got that heat difference. Yeah, shit. Mm-hmm.
So moving on to the offense, once again, Josh Allen, and the offense is fucking incredible. MVP type year. He is 1st in yards per game. He also has 257 yards, which is 1 more than their starting running back. It's also 46 yards less than A.J. Dillon, if you want another gauge of how much he's been running. He has 17 touchdowns, which is 2nd in the league, and this is once again coming off a bye. Their number 1 receiver, Stephon Diggs, who we're very familiar with, leads the team with 656 yards in 6 games. Gabe Davis is having a breakout year. He has 383 yards. He's a great player. And so is Isaiah McKenzie, their other wideout, someone else to pay attention to. So they got 3 studs at wideout. Dawson Knox is a very solid tight end for them and just got paid big this offseason. Devin Singletary, like I said, is their leading rusher, 256 yards, and he's getting 4.5 yards a carry. So pretty, pretty solid on offense. On defense, like I said, pretty good. Jordan Pryor, their safety, has 4 picks on the year, and the defense as a whole has 10. Former Packers safety Micah Hyde is out for the season. I forgot what injury it is, but he is gone. Von Miller, 6 sacks on the season. Their edge player, very, very good offseason signing. And Greg Russo, their first round pick from last year, has 4 sacks. So very, very good team. Tough to find a weakness. We'll see what happens. Talking about this game, and Roger said it after the game too, where he kind of likes, I'm sure he'd want more wins, but being in the spot as the underdog is a different feel for this team. Kind of a nice spot to be in. I like Matt LaFleur as a head coach, but it's kind of a funny situation where I would almost feel better if Mike McCarthy was our head coach, because he was really good in these shit games, like when Matt Flynn had to play against the Patriots, and these other, when Matt Flynn had to play against the Cowboys, where everything's pointing at us not winning, but somehow
he finds weaknesses and exploits them.
If it's a surprise onside kick or sticking with the run game or forcing turnovers, yes, there's been a lot of good mojo in those with Mike McCarthy, but I don't know.
I hate to be a fucking downer here, but like what everything you just said makes me feel awful going into this Sunday night game. Mm-hmm. The only thing I can possibly think of is like Aaron Rodgers loves prime time. I mean, maybe he didn't want his turnaround season to happen on a noon, you know, against
on a noon
game, at noon in a game where no one's watching. I don't know. Maybe he wanted prime time to say, look, we're fucking back. We beat the Bills, baby. And yeah, if they do beat the Bills, we're going to break some tables. Well, I don't know.
I did say it last week or the week before, too, with how bad this team is. It's like, and once again, it's Twitter was on fire again today with all the Rodgers quotes and how bad the teams looked and all this. If we beat the Bills, it will be a new season again.
It's fuck! Like, it's imagine!
Like, it's like imagine. The season would just start over. So
Well, that and maybe there's an off chance where like the Bills are like, fuck it, the Packers suck this year. Let's go get drunk on Saturday, you know? Obviously, it's not happening right. Like that, but they're not preparing as much as they could be or something.
That's what's tough, too, is they're coming off a bye week. So yeah. They even had an extra week, at least the coaching staff, to prepare. So
maybe everyone just got lazy. I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
That's what we're kind of hoping for. But like I said, they've turned the ball over quite a bit. Josh Allen is a very good quarterback.
And our defense is good. I mean, our defense is solid.
We're pretty solid. And I said it earlier, too, on this episode. Picks, turnovers, Jerry Gray has said come in bunches. Maybe. I mean, that is probably the number one formula to win this game is to jump some balls, get some picks. But yeah, it's going to probably be tough sledding. I hope it's a good game. It could be a blowout. Maybe we'll eke one out. I think it could be weird, but
I would love it if it was weird. I'm gonna go ahead right now and give my bet.
Perfect.
My lock.
Yes, the my lock. Guaranteed to lose.
Yes. Please tell me no one drove to Iowa. God, I would feel so bad if you did. At yes, 225.
Last week, once again, and Andrew and I talked about this before we started recording. How these. I mean, he's obviously an idiot, but now it seems to be jinxing the team as in general. Last week, he said, take whatever the odds were for the Packers to win the NFC North.
To win the NFC North. It was plus 225. I haven't even looked to see what it is now. I don't want to.
It's probably doubled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't even know what the line is. I'm just saying the under because I want our run defense to show something here against
47.5, which is kind of an odd number. Just
no, sorry. I'm sorry. For the total yards on Singletary. I want the under.
Okay.
I want the under because I want the Packers defense to come fucking stomping.
Okay. Whatever that number is.
I like the under.
I mean, they're probably going to throw a lot too, but yes. Okay. I like that. That's I hope so.
Rushing yards on the under or, you know, keeping them, hold them down to it.
I understand. Yes.
Good.
Okay. Well,
good.
We shall see. Hopefully we hold him to it. They don't have a very good run game. Like I said, right. AJ Dillon even has more yards than this guy.
So. Right. Oh, yeah. So that's Singletary. What I'm kind of hoping for. We can keep him down low and force him to throw the ball. And if that's the case, our cornerbacks are decent too. You know, I think there is a way our defense holds them a little bit.
Yeah.
Plays to their weak because we don't have a good rush D, you know,
mm-hmm.
but we do have a really good wide receiver or, you know, receiving D. So like yep. it could play in a way that makes it doable.
That's true. We will have to see. Yeah. I mean, that's the way they're going to have to win this game is for the defense to complementary football, which we haven't seen much of this
against
year.
The Packers. Cause I'm an all or nothing high roller coaster kind of guy, as you know. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm obviously going to take the 10.5 points and then just, you know, eat it. But I enjoy it. You know, that's what I enjoy. So
you enjoy
we'll
eating.
See.
Yeah. Well, Andrew, what is your score prediction for this game?
Yeah. God, I always say these with my heart and it never works out, but I'm not going to stop now. 33 Packers.
Okay.
24 Bills.
Wow. Okay. I got that part right. All right. That would be shocking. That would be a pretty... That'd be a very exciting game.
They're coming back. They're saying, we beat the Bills. We're fucking here, baby.
God, yeah.
Relax.
I mean, it's fun to hear that, but you're so fucking bad at predictions.
Terrible. Terrible.
My prediction, I have the Green Bay Packers losing 27-31 to the Buffalo Bills. I picked this score. I'm sure someone at home was like, ah, I know what that is. Nobody knows that. That was the score of the Patriots-Packers game with Matt Flynn that the Packers lost but kept very close. I think something similar like that will happen. Another AFC East team like the Pats.
And okay.
I think we're going to get hope, but we're not going to be good enough. Once again, this is very reminiscent of seasons in the past, kind of like 2018 where balls weren't bouncing the right way. Maybe a couple balls bounce. You know, we're due for some luck, so maybe we'll get it in this game.
You know, what I'm also kind of not counting on, but thinking could happen.
I don't know.
We pick up a Wookiee. Why do we get a Wookiee on the fucking
Chewbacca,
field? We're gonna
yes.
kill it. We're mm-hmm. gonna kill it. We get a veteran wide receiver out there
mm-hmm.
That can really change our entire offensive outlook. So,
I hope so.
So let's just look forward to that.
Yeah.
And our front office making some moves.
We'll have to see. But Andrew, what is your bold prediction for this game?
As if my score wasn't big enough.
Yeah, I suppose.
My bold prediction is that...
Were you going to say we outscore the Buffalo Bills?
We outscore the Buffalo Bills, the reverse of what the spread is. So 10.5. So instead of the Buffalo Bills outscoring us by 10.5, like is predicted,
okay,
we outscore them by 10.5. So okay. I'm going 20 points against the spread.
How are they gonna score half a point?
That's a really good question. You know, we'll have to wait and see.
Okay.
Wait and see.
It's gonna be a weird game. We'll mm-hmm. see. Yeah.
Like one of those field or touchdowns at the end of the game where you don't have to kick the field goal or extra point because you've already won. Mm. Those should count as something. Those screw so many people over. I'm sure on bets. Just fucking imagine. Because like 50-50 that they end up kicking or not. It's like, how do you decide? Sometimes the fans rush the field and they don't get to.
Well, that's like the Fail Mary game in Seattle in 2013, 2014, whatever it was. With the review and all the madness that was going on, Packers went to the locker room and they had to like get 11 guys on the field to kick the extra point.
Yeah, bizarre.
Absolutely bizarre. Yeah. With that, I will have my bold prediction. You know, someone who we've talked a little bit of crap on this year, but you know, I think we've been pretty fair with him. Hell is going to have to freeze over for us to win this game, people are saying, people being me. I have Amari Rodgers scoring a touchdown. I think he's going to be forced to play some more snaps here. Randall Cobb being out. Didn't look terrible as a receiver last week. You know, it didn't seem like he made mental mistakes outside of the muff punt, which was pretty fucking terrible, but he had the drop. But when he's got the ball in his hands on offense, he doesn't look terrible. I'm judging this off of like 3 plays this year where he gets it and runs up field, which he doesn't do on punts for whatever reason. But that is my bold prediction for this
game. So I just want to confirm, you're parlaying Aaron Rodgers' comments about give other men opportunities in addition to us obviously not having a receiving core.
Yeah.
I love that. I fucking love
that. Yeah, I don't know if he's talking about Amari Rodgers.
No, it's probably not, but I love
Samari
that either way,
playing
they
more.
Might just mix some shit in and throw who in there and see what happens.
It's kind of, and we'll see. It's Mike McCarthy, like I mentioned earlier, with these weird primetime games, he'd always throw in these like stupid ass plays. Could be a fake field goal, like the Tom Crabtree touchdown, or surprise onside kick, or a Julius Peppers fade for whatever fucking reason against the Saints. And maybe there's probably going to be some fuck ass plays in this game, and one of those is probably going to involve Amari Rodgers.
Do you think
we'll
Aaron
see.
Jones will throw a touchdown this year?
I would say no. I don't think Aaron Jones has ever thrown a pass in his NFL career.
I just don't know if that's ever a thing that like you could see us mixing in, especially with like these passes that are kind of backwards laterals, and then you know he lobs one out there or something like that for one of those weird interesting plays.
I mean,
is all I'm saying.
Maybe there was talk about this way back in the day. I think when Randall Cobb was a rookie or in his second year because he played some quarterback at Kentucky. Well, people were like, "Oh, why don't we throw in some trick plays with Randall Cobb throwing the ball?" It's like, well, you have Aaron Rodgers, so any throw you're gonna do, it should be probably Aaron Rodgers throwing.
Like
the ball.
2 years ago, our backup quarterback when Aaron was out, and like who was it? Aaron Rodgers was out, and then there was someone else could have gotten hurt, and like they had to list him actually as our backup QB.
I don't remember that. Randall Cobb has been dubbed the emergency QB in the past.
Okay, that might have been what it was.
I believe
okay.
John Kuhn was way okay. in the past as well. So
sure.
hopefully it never comes to that.
Well,
but,
no, absolutely.
Yeah, but we'll see what happens Sunday. It's going to be, if nothing else, it's going to be a game.
There will be football played.
There will be football.
By athletes who love
so.
Football.
If not, that would be an even more bold prediction if that doesn't occur.
Yeah, that would.
But with that, everyone's favorite part of the episode, please don't skip forward. Listen to me talk here. If you could please subscribe, leave a 5-star rating. That would be pretty cool. You could leave a review. Leave a review. Take a screenshot. Send it to us at PMP Pod on Twitter or, yeah, DM it to us on there or email it to us, PMPpodcast@gmail.com. There we go. I saved it. Not going to edit this out. If you do that, we'll send you a free koozie. And hopefully the koozies I sent out last week made it. Like I said last week, I didn't seal the envelope very well, and I wonder if they just fucking
I thought
apart.
You were worried about like mail fraud or something.
Yeah. Yeah. They're coming.
People
out
are really coming for these koozies.
These koozies, yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Postal workers, if you're trying to go through packages, just call us and we'll get you a koozie too.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sure
to
that's
all
what
postal workers.
For. But with that, Andrew, I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else?
Go Pack, go.
Okay. Well, with that, Eric Koskinen, please don't sue us. All right, Andrew, hello, how are you?
I'm good, Spence, I'm good.
You know, I'm sure you've been waiting for this. You know, what is the question I'm going to have for you this week? Well, what did you think of Taylor Swift's new album?
Man, actually, I got delivered today. Mm-hmm. So I like the 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. Additional like release of her six songs.
Yep,
better.
Every vinyl has so many different things that come with it.
Well, no. So she released her album at midnight, mm-hmm. right? Obviously. And then at 3 a.m. Okay,
that.
At 3 a.m. there was an additional six songs that dropped on Spotify as well.
Oh,
just
okay.
like a special edition 3 a.m.
Okay,
and some of those songs I like a little bit more. Mm. Like Glitch is my favorite.
Okay,
I like the tone of all of the songs. Mm-hmm. However, a lot of the songs sound too
exactly
similar.
The same. Yes,
yeah,
I
it's like tough to tell. So, you know, some people reviews are meaning like, oh, it just blends so nicely. But it's like the same song over and over.
It's there's
in
a difference
sense,
between
you know?
A concept album and then every song sounding the same. Because I had Tori and I listened to it when we were making dinner last night.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. And then I'm like, all of these songs sound
identical.
The same. The only, and I don't know if I listened to the extended one or whatever, but
right.
the only song I liked was Karma. And the rest, I'm like,
yeah,
these
okay.
are all
I liked Karma. Yep. Karma was, that's the one where she's like, and fuck you or whatever. Like she drops the F bomb in one of them, like as at the end a few times.
I don't know
like,
if it was
it.
That one. I, but okay. when she did
I
that,
remember,
I was like, Taylor.
I was like, yeah, that's not the same thing. I was like, oh shit, girl. Like she getting.
Yeah.
And then like, I don't know. It was like, I said, yeah, they all sound similar. I did not like Folklore at all.
I didn't.
So the last two albums,
either.
I'm like, I think you
I
said
like
it.
Lover. I like the song
yeah,
Lover.
Yeah, Lover was okay. But then, what was it? Was it 89? Was her best album
yeah.
ever. And you
Probably.
Said it before, like, it's never going to be topped. And that's definitely true. So, you know, whatever. Looking forward to coming on, releasing some tour dates. Hopefully she comes to US Bank again and
cool.
check
that
out.
That was a weird whistle you just made.
I don't know how to whistle.
Oh.